Welcome, Nick Wetmore.
Hey.
How are you? Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yeah, you sound good. You sound bassy.
Oh, bassy. I'm all about that bass, you know.
You sound very Ace of Bassy.
I'm all about that bass. How about now? Do I sound bassier? Do I sound bassier, 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 trebler, trebler, bassier, bassier?
It did go up a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
You did the treble. Yeah.
I'm all about that treble. Damn it! No, that's not it. How are you, sir? I'm drinking, I got some beer from old Trader Joe's.
Ooh, did they have our beer?
They did not. Those bastards.
Dang it.
In fact, they reduced the beer space.
Oh.
Yeah, they replaced it with wine. So now the beer is just like in this one, like, I don't know, 6-foot section.
Little cubby hole.
Yeah, yeah.
That ain't right.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Obviously the wine is selling like hotcakes.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, it's like $3.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Is that what it's called? $3 check? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I got some drive-through red. Dry hopped red ale.
Ooh, let me know how that is.
It's quite good.
That'll make your foot feel all better.
So you want me to tell you the story about my foot?
It's up to you.
I'm here
all night. Feel free.
Here's what happened was. So before we moved into this home, this house was on the market for like a year or two. Okay. It belonged to an old couple. I think one of them died. The other one was sent to a nursing home and the house was in dire disrepair. So the real estate agent, in order to try to get some more money out of it, did a bunch of stuff around the house. For the most part, it was pretty good quality work. Not entirely, but for the most part. One thing that they did was they added this deck in the back. And the deck's fine. It's actually pretty well built. What's not very well built, though, was the stairs. Because I think they used shit-ass wood. And so, over the years, I mean, I think I replaced the little steps probably about three years ago. We've been at this house for about 5 years. Maybe 4.5. And so I replaced the steps because they were like in really bad shape. But that's all I replaced. And I knew that one day I would have to replace the streamers. I learned a new word today, Nick. The word is streamers. I did not know that the side pieces of a staircase was called streamer. Did you know that?
Like the part that you grab a hold of?
No,
the arm rail?
The part that the steps sit on are called streamers.
Oh, interesting.
Didn't know that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, over time, we've noticed that the deck was getting kind of lower on one side. And at first I was like, fuck, I hope I don't have to redo the whole deck because that's going to be a pain in the butt with me just by myself. So my wife asked me like a week ago, she's like, can you look at the deck? And I was like, yeah. But I didn't because I was on vacation and I wasn't doing anything. So, every day she's like, did you look at the deck? I'm like, nope, but I'll look at it tomorrow. So
and then you filled her in like, I read these 3 great issues of Batman. Let me tell you all about them.
I tried, but she wouldn't listen.
Yeah, she's like, just do the deck.
So finally yesterday, or on Friday, she's like, did you look at the deck yet? And I said, no, but I'm going to go look at it right now. So I went out there and looked at it, and the deck itself actually looked pretty sturdy. And I looked at it, I put a level on it, I eyeballed it, and I was like, you know what? I think the deck is fine. I think the problem is the stairs going down into the backyard. So today, or last night, no, this morning. This morning, she's like, so what'd you find out about the deck? I said, well, I got to replace the steps. She's like, well, you just replace the steps. Well, not just. I mean, it's been a couple of years, but it's not like the actual steps. I mean, like the pieces on the side. She's like, okay. So I looked it up. They were cheap. It's like $15 at Lowe's for each streamer. And so I went to Lowe's. I got 2 streamers. I got some 3-inch deck nails or deck screws. and I came back home. Here's the problem, Nick. It was like 95 degrees outside today. Let me tell you, when you want to do work outside, especially manual labor, especially when you're going to be saving the steps, because my wife said, don't buy new steps. Those steps are still good. Cause I mean, they are, they were brand new a couple years ago and I painted them and I did whatever, all that weatherproofing crap on it. So they're still brand new. I said, okay, well, I'll just take them apart off the old streamers. So as let me tell you, at first I was like, okay, this should be pretty easy, right? It's probably just bolted on the streamers to the deck itself. And then maybe there's like a nail or two on the bottom holding it in place. Should be a piece of cake. Well, I look and I don't see anything attaching it to the deck. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. In fact, the piece of wood that it was attached to had rotted away. So I looked down at the bottom and I saw a couple of nails. I was like, okay, I'll pull these nails out. So I pulled the nails out, tried to move the staircase out to get it out. And, cause it's not just a matter of pulling it out, cause there's a rail on one side. So I had to finagle it a little bit. And I'm like, man, this thing's not coming out. Like, there's gotta be something else holding it in. So I start tugging on the top, and it's definitely not attached to anything up top. I said, okay, it's gotta be on the bottom. And I look and look and look, and I finally realize that what they had done is, they had placed a piece of wood, they nailed it to the streamer on the rail side, and they were using that kind of to like shimmy it in place. So the bottom of that piece of wood was dead center with the bottom step. And that was actually the only thing holding the entire staircase together.
Sheesh.
So once I figured that out, I try to get my machete and I macheted away. Yes, I used a machete, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I used a machete, I macheted away, and I got some wood off, and I finagled it out of the way. And so now I had the stairs, I took the steps off, no problem. I put the new streamers up, got them all nailed in place, everything's nice and secured. I put a new baseboard on the bottom because the old one had rotted away. So I'm pretty sure what happened was there was already steps there, but they just reused the old wood. Because there's no way that that's like five-year-old wood, you know what I mean? So as I'm getting ready to do the new steps, put the steps up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to reuse these nails because the nails are still good. So I bang the nails out on one side and I'm pulling them out with pliers on the other side. And I decided I was going to do something because I wanted to make sure that the steps were even. So I went over there, put a step on, looked even, I nailed it in place. And as I turned around to grab the next step, I forgot that I hadn't flipped over the step board, and so the nails were all still sticking out of it. I stepped on the board.
You found that lost nail.
Yes. I stepped on the board, and I felt it. I got brand new shoes yesterday. I felt it go through my brand new shoes. And so fortunately, there's a lot of pad, because they're New Balances, you know. New Balances are very well padded. So I felt it go through that. And I think as a result, I kind of slowed down the descent of my foot, but it still managed to go into my foot just enough where it hurt. But luckily for me, I've previously stepped on nails before. And so I knew the best way to get it out was not to pull my foot up, but to very gently raise it immediately vertically. And so my foot just came right out. I suckered through the pain. I went inside. My wife was on the couch. I said, hey, I need you to get me some peroxide and a Band-Aid. She said, why? And I showed her my foot. She said, oh, my God.
She threw up on the dog.
So she's like, well, when was the last time you got a tetanus shot? And I said, tetanus metanus. So anyway, I'm going tomorrow to get a tetanus shot.
Gotcha.
But yes,
now,
so
what was your facial expression when that nail went into your foot? Did you have a Jerry Lewis Nutty Professor look? What did you have?
No, because I felt it go through the foam of my shoe and then enter my foot ever so slowly. I think I prepared myself mentally somewhat for the penetration of my foot by this nail. So I didn't scream. I said, uh-oh. And I looked down and I slowly pulled my foot straight up. And so it didn't hurt coming up either. But of course, I mean, it hurt a little bit trying to walk into the house and, you know, disinfecting the wound or whatever.
So but, you didn't look like Shaggy when he spots a ghost?
No,
none of that. Facial expression. See, I would be, I'd be very, animated.
No, let me tell you, Nick, once you get, a nail inside your foot one time, you are prepared for the next time it happens.
Ah, okay.
Matter of fact, it's always been the motherfucking right foot all three times. The first time it happened to me, I was...
All three times. My God.
The first time it happened to me, I was at the zoo with my parents. And,
How old were you?
Oh God, like six or seven, probably.
Oh my God. Okay.
And it wasn't a nail. It was a palm frond. Cause I don't know if you know this, Nick, but palm fronds, when they dry up, they're extremely, sharp.
Yeesh.
So the palm frond went, halfway up my foot. That was the first time. The second time I was probably like, I don't know, 22, 23. And, I stepped on a board that had a nail in it. Don't remember what I was doing. And then this is the third time at almost 37.
My God.
Yep. Always the same foot.
Wow. 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 Well, it's like mid 90s here, but the humidity is just basting everything in a layer of sweat like you wouldn't believe. Oh my Lord Almighty. And, my mother-in-law, she reached out. We've been dealing the last couple days. Yesterday I went to a Bears preseason game. So I was pretty unavailable the entire day. I was at a Bears game. Leave me alone.
The Bears.
Blah, blah, blah. So when I got home, by the time I got home, I heard all about the mother-in-law, freaking out that one of her two garage door clickers isn't working.
Here we go.
Freaking out. Could it be the battery? She brought it into Ace. They replaced the battery. And of course, in my head, I'm like, yeah, but did they touch any of the dip switches in the clicker? The clicker's 30 years old. Let's call a spade a spade.
Thanks.
At this point, I was like, you're using this multiple times a day. It's 30 years old. It ain't no battery. It's probably the clicker. But hey, humor yourself. Sure. Go look at that clicker. Go have that checked out. So I wake up this morning, hear all about the anxiety and stress that's happening over there. She's alone. So, you know, she is not handy. So it falls on other people to be handy or for her to get someone that's handy if it's beyond anyone's scope. So I became the designated garage door dude. So it's like, okay, I'll go over there and take a look, I guess. And, you know, I read ahead of time, like how to reset the clicker, you know, how to zero it out and how to make the garage door opener unit learn, you know, relearn the clicker. Cause I figured if the guy flipped the dip switch of the controller, you know, we'll just have to relearn it. No big deal. So I go and try to do that. Unbeknownst to me, when they say press the learn button, then press your clicker button, they didn't say how long to press either or. So I think I accidentally held the learn button down a little too long. And I don't know if you know what happens when you do that.
No.
You zero out everything.
Oh no.
Yeah. If you don't like someone, just go into their garage and press that learn button and hold that learn button. Cause it will zero out everything that is connected to that garage door unit. So I accidentally did that. But, you know, I'm trying and trying. There's two different ways you can do it. One from the wall unit, one from the actual GDO unit. And I tried both. And like I said, it was boiling hot. Just my entire back is covered. And her dryer unit goes through the wall and it dispenses the hot air exhaust into her garage.
Oh, geez.
It doesn't go outside. It goes into her garage. So you know what she was doing? She was doing her laundry as well. So there was a night, as soon as that garage door went up before I even walked in, oh yeah, that thing was a cooker.
That seems like a building code violation.
In the 50s or 60s, it was not a violation. Wink, wink, wink. So needless to say, I'm trying that clicker and I'm like, this has to work. This, I'm doing it right. And then, you know, when you start like things aren't working and you start doubting what you're doing, that's what I went into. So then I was like, this is weird. Okay. Maybe it's the clicker. And I just tell her the clicker's busted. I'll get you a replacement clicker tomorrow. No worries. We'll get you up and running. And of course she's freaking out. The look of stress and whittle on her face. You can tell she didn't sleep the night before. She's so worried that she's going to get locked out of her house because she's one of those people that the main entranceway is through her garage. She doesn't even take a house key. So, hey, for better or worse, of course she's not sleeping. So then when I go out to my car to call my wife to be like, hey, I really need to go get a clicker and go back to your mom's house, she's freaking out. As soon as I make this call and I'm on speakerphone, windows up, finally I have air conditioning in my face. The hell spawn that is that garage heat is done. All of a sudden, out of my like side view, I see her running up, frantically waving her hands, afraid that I'm going to drive off. Almost, and I mean, she's like 86. Almost ready to jump on my hood if I did not see her out of the corner of my eye. So I might have cursed while I was on said phone with the wife and said, I got to call you back. Blip. I open up the door and she goes, now this, her remote for her that's in the car that previously worked. Now this remote isn't working. And she's so ready to cry at this point. And I was like, oh, God. So I go in and I'm like, the only thing I can do are the two different steps to pair a controller. And I'm like, I hope this works. Cause at this point, the first controller did not work. So this controller that used to work now doesn't work. And I'm like, oh freak. If this doesn't work, oh my God, she is going to be in a panic. So I go up, I hit the learn button, hit her button. They actually pair. I close and open her garage door a couple times. So whew, emergency averted. That's how I learned. Oh, I held down the learn button too long. I got to research that when I get home. And that's what I did. That's how I found out if you hold the learn button, everything will be wiped out. So as soon as that happened, and I mean, she was just fit to be tied. Like you could just, the amount of stress that she's freaking out about. So I just called up the wife and I'm like, I have to go get her a clicker. And luckily I just zipped over. I bought two clickers, went back to her house, did the same pairing. And now she has three remotes. And I'm just like, hey, this one, throw this one in the garbage. It's 30 years old.
But you got it done though.
I did get it done. So
you're so handy.
No, I'm not that handy. I have a wheelhouse and I wish the wheelhouse was larger, but oh, and the one thing that I did miss out, my wife had an outreach program through the library that she was running and it was the same day as the Bears game and I missed it. It was a Maker Day. I don't know if you're familiar with Maker Day,
yeah.
But yeah, they had tons of people in there, including like guys that do their own woodworking and then like a couple engineers that were showing off certain like experiments that they were doing, that type of thing, as well as, you know, crochet and stuff like that. And my wife went through and there must have been like 8 or 10 people. And I'm just like, man, I wish I would have went to that. It sounded just geeky enough to make it a little interesting. But no, I couldn't go.
Very interesting. You know, yes. The Chamberlain app now gives you more detailed instructions on how to properly set up your remote.
Oh, I should take a look at that sometime.
It's in the changelog.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to take a look at that. Wink, wink. I already know about that. Thank you.
Oh, man. That's exciting.
Oh, hold on, Martin.
Hey.
Hold on. I have to do something. Round 3, Bishop. Okay, let me know when round 4 starts. Sorry, I'm doing my draft tonight. It's a really good superhero draft. You should be part of it, but you keep poo-pooing it.
I put my draft on auto draft and just cut it off.
Your superhero draft?
Yeah, Why would you do that? Superhero draft. I already got Moon Knight because he's the best. So you know what?
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Is that a Marvel superhero draft or do you have them combined? Because right now I'm in a Marvel draft.
Oh, how interesting.
Know, yeah. As I'm sure you could guess my team name, Team Excelsior. Standard. Bishop. So I thought that was pretty good. Round 7?
That's good. Bishop's a good one.
Yeah.
Bishop's a good one. Yeah. It's football, Nick. It's a football draft.
What?
Football draft.
You really should try my superhero draft. It's much better.
It's the Valiant Central Fantasy Football League.
I don't know what that is.
It used to be a podcast. Now it's just a fantasy football league. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Not fallen. You guys knew when the getting was good.
It's true. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Did you see Dinesh, speaking of Valiant, did you see Dinesh on Twitter this week? He posted up a picture with another dude passing out the Nerd Boss hat. Did you see that picture?
Yeah, I saw that.
I gotta say, Dinesh's facial hair on point.
On
son.
Point.
Holy cats, way to go.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Man, I think I got a rash. Woo wee!
Ooh.
Yikes.
What's that?
Could be
did
the
that
heat.
Did that nail give you syphilis?
Maybe.
My god.
It's only on my left hand.
Oh, I have rash all, it's all sweat rash for me.
I think that's what it is.
That Bears game, I was stewing in my own sweat the entire game.
Stewing in my own sweat is my Europe cover band name.
I thought that was your radio DJ name in Charleston during your college years.
When I used to do the Charleston back in the 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the 20s. Good old times.
DJ Stu and Sweat.
Did I ever tell you a story about when we got kicked out of the strip club?
No, I don't think so.
All right, well, we almost got kicked out of the strip club. All right, so let me tell you the story real quick. For number one, this is a fake story. I've never been to a strip club in my life. All right, so my buddy and I, we will not disclose his name for fear of getting him fired from his place of employment. I don't care, so, you know, whatever. My buddy and I, we went to a local ladies establishment and, we were already a little inebriated when we got there. And,
local ladies establishment?
Yes.
Are you talking like, what is it? That Charlotte Ross or Victoria's Secret or Pink? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm talking about. So we were at the mall. We were at the mall purchasing apparel at our favorite local women's garment store.
You were there after you guys took your glamour shots, your holiday glamour shots in matching sweaters.
We had taken our holiday pictures and our matching sweaters. We had just got our makeup done at the local JCPenney. I don't know.
Yes. This all checks out.
So we're a little inebriated and we go in there. We're having a great time. We were somewhat regular to this, ladies clothing store in, at the mall. And, and so all the people, they knew us. And, matter of fact, we were friends with a couple of the bouncers. They have bouncers at these, ladies apparel stores because, you know, teenage girls get very rowdy there.
Yeah. There's a lot of
Yeah, there's a lot of creeps. So we're having a great old time. And, this fine young lady came over to us and, she asked my friend if he went to lap dance, and we're like, "What, a lap dance at a Charlotte Russe? No, that's unacceptable at the mall." So,
was she wearing the matching sweater and matching pants?
Yes, yes, absolutely,
beautiful,
absolutely. So, so my buddy's like, "Hey, don't I know you from somewhere?" And she's like, "I don't think so."
Oh my!
And he's like, "Yeah, I remember you. I met you back in 68 in Vietnam."
What?
And, she was not very thrilled with the statement because, she appeared to be of, the Asian persuasion, as they say. So she was not, not very thrilled with this. So she slapped him. Can you believe it, getting slapped at the mall?
Unreal.
Unreal. So, the manager, whom they call bouncers at this establishment, came over and, said, "What's going on?" And she told him the story, and the guy kind of chuckled a little bit. And, he looked at me, he looked at my buddy. He's like, "Hey, Martin, hey, person that shall remain nameless, is this what happened?" And, my buddy's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I met her in Vietnam, blah, 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 this and the other." And, he looked at the, fine young lady in her matching sweater and sweatpants and, and said, "You cannot do this to our patrons. You need to get the hell out." So, she got kicked out of the place. Can you believe it? We thought we were going to go to jail because we were a little inebriated, as I said.
You guys should have been thrown out.
We drank too much Starbucks and ate too many, cinnamon pretzels at the pretzel time.
Is that code for something?
What?
Huh?
No. What are you talking about?
Okay.
This happened at the mall.
That was a good story that your friend told you about another friend who shall remain nameless. But I would suggest, because I got very confused with that story, next time I wouldn't name your friend Martin, because then I got it confused with you, which I know it wasn't you.
No, never.
Right.
I would never go into a Charlotte Russe.
It's really strange, but I have a story that's very sort of. It was a. It was a bachelor party.
I love that story.
One of my buddies. And while this is actually, there's two stories involved in this bachelor party. It was a hotel bachelor party, two adjoining rooms. Plenty of room for all the gents to walk around in. And lo and behold, here comes a knock at the door. Somebody comes in with a boombox. There might have been drinking. There might have been.
Wait. Did this happen in the 80s? Why was there a boombox? Continue.
It was lowbrow, my friend. But she came in, did a routine, and then during a break, you know, enjoyed some drinks and whatnot, asked me if I ever skied. And I had no clue what that meant. Found out later that she was talking about something else.
This was in the 80s, wasn't it?
Was it? No, it was 90s.
Oh, okay.
So then the same woman starts up dancing again. Looks over at one of my buddy's friends and says, "Did you go to such and such high school?" And then he said, "Yeah, I did. When did you graduate this year?" Or whatever year it was. And then she's like, "Yeah, you're 2 years older than me, younger than me. I'm not sure." But all of a sudden, the show stopped and they both sat on chairs and the rest of the night talked about that high school.
Wow. This sounds like the worst, worst ballet recital in the world.
It was so bad. It was just like, wow, that like you just heard the screeching brakes, like, oh, and then the fun just stopped.
I gotta say though, I'm impressed that you and your friends would go to the ballet for a bachelor party. That's very classy.
We're pretty highbrow.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's very classy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two pinkies up, mm-hmm. I would say.
Thank you.
Man, I like this story.
Yeah.
See, I don't have any cool ballet stories. All my cool stories happen at the mall.
Well, the mall's fun, though.
Oh, the mall's fun. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Funny story. So, as you know, I'm going to get surgery next month for my leg. For the listeners, I have bad circulation and I'm having some surgery done on my extremities, to fix that. So
how long are you going to be out of work?
Oh, like 2 days.
That's it?
Yeah.
Can't that doctor make it an entire week?
Well, she said 1 day, but I was like, how about 2 days? She's like, all right.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. So to get to the hospital where her office is, I have to pass the aforementioned, Charlotte Russe establishment at the mall. Except that establishment is not there because, apparently at some point in time they got shut down for prostitution. I mean, what kind of ladies apparel store at the mall gets shut down for prostitution? That's just ridiculous. You know what I mean?
In all fairness, Charlotte Russe's do have a lot of changing rooms. And they're really big changing rooms. So I can easily see how people accidentally might join each other in said changing rooms, not even realizing that they're trying on different clothes.
Mm.
It's not their fault.
Mm.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man, pour a little out.
Yeah. So, the first time that I drove by, I passed by the establishment, and I looked over, and it's called, what's it called? Twin Peaks.
And that restaurant?
Yeah.
That restaurant chain?
I guess.
It's like a Hooters.
Yeah. Right? Well, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe Twin Peaks is somewhere else. Anyways, but I thought it said Twin Peaks. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
So I drive by there and I was like, oh, they put something in there where like the Charlotte Russe used to be. That's cool. Excuse me.
I like that you pretend like you don't know what a Twin Peaks restaurant is. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
So, I was like, oh, okay. They put something in there and it says something about like barbecue or whatever. And I was like, that's weird. So I did my appointment, whatever, came home. My wife asked me about it. I told her like, whatever. The second appointment that I went to, I went the same way, and I was like, man, like, maybe when I get off, I should go there and get some barbecue. So
yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so, but, you know, when I got there, like, my low gas light came on, I was like, oh, I gotta go get gas. So after my appointment, I just went right to the gas station, I came home, and that night I came home, and I was talking to my wife, and I was like, yeah, so remember where the Charlotte Russe used to be, over by whatever road it is, Furnace Road? And she's like, yeah. I was like, they have a barbecue place now. I was like, it must be like a buffet or something. And she's like, really? I was like, yeah, it's kind of weird. So the next day, she's like, so remember how you said that there's a new place where the Charlotte Russe used to be? I hope that nobody from Charlotte Russe listens to this podcast. We're going to get sued for slander. I was like, yeah. I was like, the barbecue place. And she's like, no, it's not a barbecue place. It's a strip club, but they have food there. And I was like, no, couldn't be. Sure enough, it's exactly what it is. But apparently they're not marketing it as a strip club because on the sign, I mean, Charlotte Russe, because on the sign it says something about barbecue something experience.
Smart. It's like barbecue and lingerie shows at noon. Wink, wink.
It's like, so when I go to, I don't know if you have Zaxby's. I'm assuming you have Zaxby's, right?
No, I do not have Zaxby's, but I know of Zaxby's.
All right, so when I go to Zaxby's, I always get the wings and things, right? So this is kind of like this establishment here. You go there for wings and things, you know what I mean?
yes, and then you're like, and heavy on the things, thank you.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Nick. I think we need to rebrand this podcast. I was thinking about this the other day. Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. Cause as I told you the last time we recorded, I'm going to do this whole like podcast platform thing. And I was looking at iTunes categories. And the one thing that has always bothered me about iTunes categories is whenever we have a new podcast, usually it goes into like either the games and hobbies category or the arts category because there's no anime category. There's no comic books category.
Is there a tickling category?
There's no tickling category. That would probably be like under self-help, I would assume.
Yes, we are very self-help-oriented.
So I thought about this the other day, and I was like, man, like, we've always had to do this with all the podcasts, because for the majority of our podcasts are all comic book podcasts, and there's no comic book section, which is weird, because there's, like, a gazillion comic book podcasts, so you would think that there would be a comic book category, but there's not. And then I thought about our podcast, and I think we need to rebrand it. I think we need to change this podcast and put it in like the home improvement category or like the cooking category or like maybe self-help. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Cause think about it. Like when we started this podcast, like this was a comic book podcast for the most part. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, sure.
We had like a little media segment. That was back in the day. We had friend of the show Paul Tesner was on, friend of the show Rob Krieger, Rams with Ziegler, he was on. He would not be on today because apparently he's never watched the X-Men animated series. Shame on him. But you know, back then he was on. My brother was on this podcast. There were a lot of us here.
A lot of experts.
And that lasted what, like, four episodes, maybe five episodes.
Yeah, and then it just became us two dummies.
Yeah, and then it was just us two, and we're like, you know what? Like, we don't want to do this. So we became a home improvement podcast. And that has worked out very well for us. Very well for us. We're famous now, as they say. So we need to rebrand this podcast somehow, Nick. I don't know what category we're going to put us under. I don't know if we need to like cancel the podcast and just call it like the all new, all different Nick and Martin, Happy Time Hour or something, but like we need to figure that out. You know what I mean? Cause we're getting up there right now. We've done 140 something, 8 episodes, something like that. It's, it's time to rebrand. You know what I mean? Cause I mean, like, we could put this podcast under like comedy, but like this is not a funny show. You know what I mean?
No.
Like
rarely.
We have some serious discussions on this podcast. I mean, look at today's episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
We informed everybody about the seedy underbelly of the Charlotte Russe stores at the mall. Not many people have the balls to do that kind of thing. So we need to think about this a little bit.
True. Round 5, Machine Man.
Machine Man?
Yeah, very undervalued. Very undervalued.
All right, if you... this is going to come out, you know, in a few days, so this is not going to ruin your draft or your Marvel comic book character league. But,
Okay.
If you had to pick...
For Team Excelsior,
your top three most underrated Marvel comic book characters.
Ooh, okay.
Who would you choose?
Wow.
It's tough, right? It's tough. Here.
It is.
I'm gonna kick this one off for you.
Are you just going characters or heroes?
No, just characters. Cause I mean, you can pick a villain.
Okay, because I'm going to name off. I'll name off three, and two of them you could poo-poo. But I will disagree with you poo-pooing.
Listen, I don't poo-poo things, okay? I'm not a comics gator, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, continue.
Captain Britain.
Ooh, I like that.
Union Jack.
Oh, wow.
And the Falcon.
Would you say Falcon? Really?
Yeah, I think Falcon, I think people growing up, I even had Captain America and Falcon coming out. I remember those issues. But it just seems like he should have been bigger and cooler. Like, he just always was a sidekick. Like, he was, and I mean, I hate to say it, even, like, Robin's big, but Robin's always a sidekick.
That's what she said.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I would love to see more Union Jack. I'd love to see, I don't know. I always liked Captain Britain. Yeah, I even think Falcon is a more minor character than, like, a Ghost Rider. And I love me some Ghost Rider.
Hmm.
But I can't choose him as an undervalued character.
What's, God dang it, and I just even read this freaking book. Oh, the Phantom Rider. Is that it? The Phantom Rider? What's the character that they based Ghost Rider on?
Was that the guy that rode around on the horse?
Yeah. He looked like old school Moon Knight.
I would even say, yes, he did. I would even say Ben Grimm. Popular, but he certainly had bits and pieces of, like, his character trajectory that were a lot weaker and pushed to the side than some other. Like, sure, Marvel 2-in-1. Yeah, he had his own series. Okay. And it went for quite a long time. But there's still, you know, runs of 5, 6, 7 years where it's like, I guess Ben Grimm's on the Fantastic Four, but did that character really grow all that much? I don't know.
I like your choices, Nick. I gotta tell you, my most underrated is, of course, Emma Frost, because not only is she the best, she's the most underrated. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to throw that in there. I would not pick Emma Frost. I'm putting Hawkeye on my list.
Ah.
And for the simple fact, I don't know if you remember this, Nick. You probably do because you're a little bit older than I am. But you remember back in the day how awesome Hawkeye was? Like, sure, he had a shit-ass costume. It was terrible to look at. Sure. But think about how awesome Hawkeye used to be. Right? When he had that purple suit with the freaking, what's that show? The Venture Brothers? Have you ever seen The Venture Brothers?
Yep.
All right. So you know the henchmen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If the henchmen were purple, it'd be like a gang of Hawkeyes.
I would say he's undervalued, underutilized. It was always exciting to see him in Avengers or whatever team group he was part of, because he always had a different voice than everybody else.
Yeah. It was really interesting. So I don't know if you heard the episode that I did for this other podcast that I do. I did a Secret Origins of Moon Knight. And I did. One of the issues that I read, yes?
I tweeted you about that.
Oh, you did.
Wondering,
that's right.
Wondering where a run was.
Yeah, that's right. So I, as you remember, I talked about some West Coast Avengers in that series, because there was this big event. It was like a 10-issue event where all the Avengers traveled to the past and the future and the present and this, that, and the other. There's different timelines. And one of the issues is very Moon Knight-centric, so I talked about it. But reading the rest of that and reading some issues beyond that, I was like, man, Hawkeye was freaking awesome. And I remember my first comic book was an Avengers comic book. And the reason I continued reading it was because Hawkeye was freaking awesome. You know what Hawkeye is not now? Awesome.
He had a little period there where they at least tried to make him different.
Yes. Yeah. But I
that
think
that didn't last long.
When who was it that wrote that series? It wasn't Remender. What's the other guy?
No, it was Fraction.
Fraction. I think what happened was Fraction was like, nobody's using Hawkeye. I'm going to do this cool new thing with Hawkeye. And it was freaking awesome. But then now nobody knows what to do with the awesome thing that Fraction did with Hawkeye.
Well, you also had the design of AHA, which definitely helps, as well as, what was it, Matthew Hollingsworth colors? I mean, that's a pretty good package. But I think the Hawkeye series fell under, and it happens more than I like it to happen, under the Fraction, I'm so clever, look how clever and witty I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a lot of his series, he's that way.
Hmm.
And then when he falls out of love with a series or character, oh boy, does that thing drop like a hot potato.
Yeah, I agree. So Hawkeye. However, I will say this. I tweeted about this earlier. The old man Hawkeye series is fucking awesome.
Any old man blank is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I like
the old man Logan thing went a little to shit after a while.
It did, but it lasted a hell of a lot longer than anyone expected it to.
True. Very true.
But can I give you a rebuttal on your Hawkeye?
Yeah.
You know why Hawkeye was never cool? The comparisons to Green Arrow. And Green Arrow back in the day had those pimp trick arrows.
Mm.
Pimp!
Mm.
And I don't ever understand why those sort of went away. I get that some of them are dumb. But guess what? They were also pretty fun. Pretty goofy.
Yeah.
Where Hawkeye just shot arrows.
Yep.
Like, all right.
Well, you know what the thing is about that is DC was smart about it before Marvel got smart. Because DC tried to redo Green Arrow quite a bit from very early on. Like the Mike Grell stuff, the Longbow Hunters. That's like the first like almost complete revamp of the character. And that's what, like 40 years ago now? Whereas, maybe not 40, but like 30 something years.
I'm talking Green Arrow from JLA, like mid 70s to like mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every arrow was a trick arrow.
Yeah.
And then Longbow Hunters came and then they made him more normal, more modern.
I don't know.
People aren't going to put a boxing glove on an arrow. People aren't going to shoot net arrows. Come on. It's like, but I like the boxing glove.
I don't know if you watch the Arrow TV show.
I did the first three seasons.
Fair enough. The last season was pretty good. I don't know if you're reading the New Age of Heroes comics at DC.
No.
Okay. So there's a New Age of Heroes book called The Silencer. Brand new character. All the New Age of Heroes stuff is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And when they kicked it off, it was, oh man. Now I can't remember who wrote it, but I do remember the artist because it's my least favorite artist. Romita Jr. was the artist on that book. And,
oh, he's good.
Well, sometimes. And,
oh, he's good.
Anyways, that book is really good. I can't remember who's doing it now, but he's not on it anymore. He left to go do Hit Girl, or not Hit Girl, Kick Ass.
So he stepped in for three issues, and then he's like, "I'm out."
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, what's really interesting is in the next season of Arrow, they're doing the Longbow Hunters.
Neat.
And what's really interesting is. The Silencer is going to be one of the Longbow Hunters.
Huh.
Because she's got a direct connection to the League of Assassins because Talia trained her.
Me.
And I know you didn't watch a whole lot of the show, but the League of Assassins was pretty important in a lot of the seasons of Green Arrow.
Cool.
So I thought that was interesting. Anyways, back to this thing.
I like it.
Quit taking us off topic, all right? I'm trying to do a bit here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so Hawkeye, number one. I mean, naturally you would assume I would put Moon Knight in there, but you know what? I think Moon Knight's fucking awesome. So he's not on my most underrated list. Although his book's getting canceled again, rest in peace. The next one on my list is going to be Beta Ray Bill because he is the best Thor.
Yeah, he is. He's fun.
I mean, Jane Foster's pretty damn good, but let's be real. If you were to put Jane Foster in the octagon with Beta Ray Bill, guess who would win?
Beta Ray Bill just always looked cool. He had just an aura of cool.
He did.
From the time he first came on to every time that he's popped into Thor or the Marvel U. He's good.
My final one.
Uh-oh.
Is going to be more on the villain side.
Oh.
A character that used to be used a lot back in the day. That doesn't get used very much at all now. I don't think it's been used in years.
Ooh.
Although, there is a version of him in the new West Coast Avengers book that just came out.
Oh, jeez.
And that character is MODOK.
Oh, wow. He was used in Brubaker's run.
Yeah, he was used in Brubaker's
run. Of Captain America.
There's a new character that's going to be part of the West Coast Avengers called Brodok.
What?
And Brodok. And he,
oh, brother.
He's very different than MODOK. He doesn't have the little tiny legs and the giant head.
Yeah.
But
he has a sweet mullet and he has, his shirts are all sleeveless.
Well, his shirt's all sleeveless. when he wears them, usually he doesn't wear shirts.
Oh my god.
Because he's like a surfer dude, MODOK.
So. Yo, bro.
He's got long blonde hair. It's luxurious. If you were wondering, BRODOK stands for Biorobotic Organism Design, overwhelmingly for kissing.
No, that's not right.
I'm dead serious.
Is this April Fool's Day?
No, I'm serious. Why would I be kidding? See, here's the problem. You know what? This is what we need to rebrand completely to a non-comedic genre on the iTunes music store.
Oh my god.
Because when we joke about something, the listener has no idea that we're joking. Because we joke so much that when we say something serious, it sometimes feels like a joke. But I'm here to tell you, Nick Wetmore, that I am not joking about BRODOK.
You have to be joking.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's a play on MODOK. By the way, MODOK.
I understand that.
MODOK, mental, mobile, mechanized organism designed only for killing.
Right.
Right. He's a bad guy. BRODOK.
Oh, and by the way.
BRODOK's a good guy. That's why he's kissing.
I just remembered MODOK was in that run of, what was it, Secret Defenders? That included Elektra and Punisher. He was part of that team.
I don't think I read that.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Who the hell is writing this? Are you sure you're not joking with me?
I'm dead serious.
Who's writing this?
Kelly Thompson, the best. She is awesome.
I do like her too.
Yeah, she's doing the current Jessica Jones book, and it's better than Bendis.
No, I like her, but oh, BRODOK. Oh,
BRODOK.
Are you sure Jerry Dugan's not writing this? Or Acker Blacker?
No, Nick. I'm very serious.
God. I just, you know what? Sometimes I don't want chuckles in my comic book. I just don't. Sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. Like,
and that's coming from the guy whose favorite character is Spider-Man, who's always a chuckle hut.
Ugh, let's not talk about that. That book is terrible.
Don't say that. That's my favorite character, jerk.
Okay. Have you read it?
I only read the first issue.
Okay, good. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. But I will, once there's a sale, I will.
All right. Fair enough.
Or I'll get the trade.
When you read it, you let me know.
Hey, you didn't like the first issue either, so you had issues where I did not have issues, so.
That's very true. That's very true. Anyways, MODOK!
Oh, God, that's just the worst. I do like MODOK. MODOK's fun.
MODOK's great. Dude, yeah. I don't know, do you remember the, what was it called? Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yes.
Dude, you could be MODOK in that game. It was freaking awesome.
Yes. Yes, you could.
All right, continue.
You know what rabbit hole I fell down?
Mm.
And I'm guessing you'll fall down after this podcast. Don't do it now. After the podcast. What I recommend you throwing into your DuckDuckGo machine, just type in Saturday morning cartoons ad. And look up all of those Saturday morning cartoon ads. Oh, my God. I was driving around today, and all of a sudden it hit me. And you're a little younger than I am. But back in the day, on, like, a Friday night, before the new, like, season of, like, Saturday morning cartoons would start, you would get on a Friday night, you would get – and it, I mean, it was like – look at your TV guide listings, and whenever you saw this ad or an ad in your comic book, you would be tuning in Friday night, whenever it was, 7:30 at night for a half hour, because they're going to be going through the new season of Saturday morning cartoons. And I was so effing into it. Oh my God, that was must see TV. Holy cats. So all of a sudden I thought of that, and I'm like, I wonder if those are on YouTube. I should look them up. I would love to see how horrible they are now. But I'd love to just check that out. But then in my DuckDuckGo machine, I put in Saturday morning cartoon ad. And oh my God, I so remember all of these ads in our comic books. Oh my God, they're just the best.
All right, give me an example.
Oh, it would just be like NBC. 7:30 in the morning, you know, it'd be like She-Ra, 8 o'clock, Spider-Man and his amazing friends, 8:30, you know, Scrappy-Doo and Scooby-Doo. And it would be all of the characters for NBC all laid out on a one page ad going through like all the time. So as a kid, you either tore out that ad or I would sit there and watch that half hour show. And I'd be writing down, like, NBC 8:30, Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Or whatever it is. Super Friends versus, you know, Legion, whatever it is. And I would just be writing it all down. Oh, my God. It was just the best.
Dude, I just found the good one. NBC Saturday morning.
Yes.
The Flintstones comedy show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Space Stars. Space Ghost, of course. Astro and the Space Dogs. Don't remember that.
Nope.
Teen Force.
What?
The Herculoids.
Yes.
The Jetsons. The Daffy Duck Show. What? And who could forget the insurmountable and incomparable, the Godzilla Dino Mutt Hour?
Of course.
That makes perfect sense.
It's like Jabba Jaw followed up by Super Friends. Like, what? And then all of a sudden, if you go through some more of the, like, Saturday morning ads, you'll see, like, there was a Roseanne cartoon? Like, what? It's just stuff that you totally forgot about. Like, oh, there's a Plastic Man cartoon or a Shazam cartoon. Oh my God, it just brought back so many bizarre memories.
Oh my God, Black Star, I forgot about that show.
See, I told you you'd fall down a rabbit hole.
It was a Tarzan Lone Ranger show? Holy Jesus.
I know.
The Kid Superpower Hour with Shazam, I gotta find that.
There you go.
That sounds awesome.
But aren't those ads just great?
Amazing.
You can tell they are made for 7-year-olds.
These are awesome.
But I'm telling you, if you ever, I don't know if you ever watched one of those half hour preview shows for the like upcoming cartoon, Saturday cartoon, but it was just a half hour and they just walked through with like little snippets, little clips. And it would be like, hey, there's, you know, there's the Fonz from Happy Days and he's hosting it. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Nick, I just found the most 80s ad I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Kids Love Saturdays on ABC.
Who doesn't?
It is. All right. Some of these are pretty normal, but you can tell this is from the 80s. The Best of Scooby-Doo. The Little Rascals Richie Rich Show.
Wow.
Monchi Cheese. You remember Monchi Cheese?
No.
I remember Monchi Cheese because I had the freaking toys. They were awesome.
Oh,
Pac-Man. Rubik. Okay. Rubik the Amazing Cube.
What?
The Littles. Puppy's Further Adventures. The New Scooby and Scrappy-Doo. And the most 80s cartoon of all time.
Oh, no.
Menudo!
What the hell? Hey, you know, some of this stuff might have only lasted one season, all right?
Sure.
Jabba Jaw? Jabba Jaw might have lasted a couple seasons. Scooby-Doo, that's a standard. But, oh, it's so fun. Especially when you see, like, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Everybody sort of knows that, whether you watched it or not. But then when you check out, like, oh, there's Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and you look at the lead-in cartoon and then the outro cartoon after it, it's like, what are they doing? Like, all of a sudden, it'd be like Light Bright or Pippi Longstocking, and then Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and then Menudo. Like, oh, my God. Like, they just expected kids just to, like, sit down at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're just going to show you random crap until 11:30 in the morning. Or, dude. Sorry, 11, because American Bandstand's on at 11.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Freaking Richard Pryor hosted one of these.
Yeah, you know, when you talk of wholesome.
Oh, the most wholesome.
Yes.
That was Muppet Babies, Saturday Supercade, Dungeons and Dragons, The Get Along Gang, Pole Position. Pole Position had a cartoon?
Pole Position, what? Wow.
Yeah, that was Pryor's Place.
Jiminy Christmas. Did you find the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
Yes.
I mean, that one and then, like, the Super Friends? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Tony Danza did it, too.
There you go.
Wow!
Now you see my rabbit hole.
The 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, Dilemma, though. Dilemma. CBS had the Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling Show.
Yep.
But before that was the Berenstain Bears. And let me tell you, that is not a thing. It is the Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nelson Mandela put his effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, oh, these are great. These are great.
And I'm telling you, as a kid, like when they showed these like preview half hours, I sat there and I wrote down all of the ones I wanted to see and what channel they're on. And then it was like Schindler's List. Like, what do I watch? Mm. We have the Hulk Hogan hour. Oh, but there's also Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends on at the same time. How do you make a choice? I don't have a, there was no VCR. No, I have to make a choice. That's why I think I missed, like, Plastic Man, never watched an episode. Shazam, never watched an episode. My guess is there was probably something on at that time that I couldn't watch it.
Larry and Balky host a zany half hour of Bugs, Bears, and More.
Ah, see?
Oh, Perfect Strangers.
Of course.
That was the Gummy Bears and Beetlejuice.
Jeez.
Wow, the 80s. What great times. Kids don't know about that stuff.
Nah.
Wow.
Some of the stuff they don't need to know. But there's little pockets.
Oh, no. They need to know about all of these things. They would hate all of them. but they need to know about him. Dude, have you ever watched, I don't know if you watch Cartoon Network over the last couple of years, but they've got some pretty crazy crap on there. Like, what's the one? Is it Agent Orange? It's about an orange in a supermarket and he goes on zany adventures. And it's really creepy because it's like, it's not, they take like an actual orange, but then like the mouth is made with like a hand puppet. I don't know. It's really weird. Orange something.
It sounds like you're on acid.
No, dude, I'm telling you. Cartoon Network's got some crazy stuff on there. Crazy stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So that was about an hour that I just headed down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I like that.
But I freaking love those ads. Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find video versions of these. These are pretty awesome.
Yeah, I need to find them. Mm.
Mm-mm-mm. So yeah. I watched a couple movies, Nick, I want to tell you about.
Oh yeah, feel free.
So I only watched
one thing, and that was a Netflix documentary series. Hmm. Yes. So go on. I don't have much to speak of.
Alright, so I'm gonna tell you about the really odd one first. It is it's called Hungerford. And it's set in the town of Hungerford in good old England. That's my terrible British accent. It is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like one of those found footage films, which I tend to not like, but they wrap it around the fact that it's this kid's like school project. Except it's okay. Really weird because he's like filming himself and him and his buddies get like drunk every night and they smoke weed and whatever. Like they don't actually show him smoking weed. But they definitely get drunk every night. And, pretty much when the film starts off, you see this like giant storm cloud, and lightning hits this like abandoned factory. And that's how the movie starts. And as you go on through the movie, you learn that, there's people that have been impacted by this. And they go a little crazy. I don't know if you ever watched the movie The Crazies, but it kind of starts off like that, where people just become uber violent and just want to murder other people for no reason. And, but it's all told like in a jokey way. So it's definitely a B movie, maybe a C or D even. But it's interesting enough where I continue to watch it. And I laughed a lot, which I usually don't in these kind of movies. And so I was really enjoying it, but then it gets like really weird because from there, like these people end up becoming kind of more zombie-like. And then they end up fighting one of these guys. The mailman gets turned into one of these things and they kill the mailman with, the mailman attacks one of the flatmates, one of the roommates. And they're like trying to knock him out and nothing's hurting him. They stab him with a knife. Nothing happens. He just like pulls it out and starts attacking him again. And, one of the roommates comes in with like a spray can of deodorant and sprays him in the face, kind of like to mace him. And the freaking mailman dies. So they learn that like that's one way to get rid of these people is to spray him with spray deodorant. And, jeez. And that's when we learn that they have like these, like giant cockroaches that go in through their necks and like control these people. Anyways, a lot of stuff happens.
Puppets?
Kind of like puppets. Yeah. It's like, what's that other movie? There's a Julianne Moore movie that is kind of like that. God, I wish I remember what it was called, but it's like these aliens come in and they start taking over people's bodies. It's the one where she tries to go, find her son because her son is like kidnapped. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So it's like that. But then like it turns kind of into like Shaun of the Dead. But then they go to the factory that was hit at the beginning of the movie by lightning, because that's where a lot of these people, like zombie type people are hanging out. And then it's a little more horror-y. So there's this guy that's kind of like the Texas Chainsaw guy. That, like goes after them. But then there's like this demon thing that pops in and like eats people. I don't know. It's very weird. It ended up being, I really enjoyed it. Like, I'm telling you this movie, about this movie, and all of it sounds like complete and utter garbage because ultimately, it's a garbage movie. But just like Taco Bell is garbage food that I love eating, this movie was total garbage that I really loved watching for some weird reason. You know, like when they start doing these kind of weird kooky things that don't make sense, I'll just mm-hmm. tune out and do something else. Sure. But like, I just kept on watching it because I wanted to see what the hell was happening. The acting's not good. It's not supposed to be, but the acting's not good. The plot makes no sense. These like the almost like a SWAT team pop in at the end and save them from the zombie things at the factory. And then we see this like spaceship show up, and then the movie ends with like an alien invasion, like. The people being taken over as hosts was kind of like the first step. And that was just like a full-blown alien invasion. And these kids that you follow through the whole movie end up joining like the resistance. And it kind of ends with them showing you like what the world looks like now that it's been invaded by aliens. It was so weird. So weird because like there's a lot of comedy. But there's a lot of like really serious bits. And there are tons of homages to like sci-fi and horror movies that I really enjoyed watching that are very serious. So I really enjoyed it. I was very surprised. Hungerford.
Sounds like it really went places.
Yeah. Oh, it went places.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
It went places. Tell me about yours.
Mine was just a Netflix, only on Netflix series. Documentary series called The Keepers. Did you see that one?
Oh yeah. We started watching that. That's the one with the nun, right?
Yeah. At the beginning, a nun gets murdered, and they're investigating the murder. And that series definitely goes places. I don't want to ruin anything. If you don't like, what was that one movie with Mark Ruffalo? He's the reporter at the Boston Globe. I think it's called Frontline, maybe?
Maybe.
It was nominated for an Academy Award a couple of years ago, where the paper breaks, like, a parish, priests, molesting young children, and the big cover-up. Well, There's similar tentacles in The Keepers as well. So if that's subject matter that you don't really want to, you don't find enjoyment from, or you have, or you're a little sensitive of, I wouldn't recommend The Keepers because it definitely goes into those avenues while searching for the murder of this nun, which is really interesting.
Yeah, but it's,
six or seven episodes?
Yeah, I think it's six.
Yeah, and they're about an hour each. I feel like it also falls under the Wild Wild America. Was that it? Wild Wild Country?
Wild Wild Country.
Yeah, I feel like it falls into the same trap that series did, where it could have, an editor should have got in there and edited out about another 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Just to hone it in, just because you can make it as long as you want. Sometimes an editor's job is to tighten it up just a little bit.
Yep.
But I was never bored. I never looked at my phone or looked at my device. I sat up till about 2 a.m. trying to finish it, and then realized, oh my God, there's 2 more episodes. No, I have to go to bed. I can't stay up till 5. So I was pretty engaged with it. And it definitely is something that makes you want to discuss the subject matter, which I think that's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend The Keepers.
Nice. Very nice. The other one that I watched, I also watched on Netflix. I don't know if it's an original, but it's definitely on there. It is called The Worthy. And I watched it, and as I watched it, I realized I had already seen it, but I watched it again, and it was really good the second time. It is a post-apocalyptic movie, but there's no zombies, there's no aliens, there's none of that, there's no disease. It is a Saudi Arabian film, so it's in Arabic. You can watch it with subtitles, or you can watch it in English if you want. There's an English option. And it's really good. It's basically the premise of the movie is kind of like an extrapolation of all the crazy shit that has happened in the Middle East, where like all these groups rise up and use like religion to like excuse their actions, I guess you could say. And things get worse and worse, and eventually one of these groups like poisons the water supply, and that results in basically the complete downfall of the society. And so it almost plays out a little bit like Mad Max. Most of the movie takes place in this abandoned aircraft wing factory, and it follows a group of survivors. And at the beginning of the movie, pretty early on, they get attacked by this one group, and they're saved by this one guy, and they let him into their factory or whatever. And he's got this woman that doesn't speak Arabic. She's a Kurd, but he can speak Kurd. Nobody else can. And as it turns out, like, he's part of this group called the Aleph and Yah, which means it's like the Alpha and Omega. And basically it was like a post-apocalyptic cult before all this crazy stuff happened. And now that the civilization actually collapsed, they're basically running around, the world, finding survivors and putting them through these weird trials where like the majority of them die, and whoever survives is invited to join the Alpha Yah. And they have to go to one of the holy cities. I think it was Medina, one of the holy cities of Islam, is where they're supposed to meet. And we never actually get to that point. But we do get to see like this whole thing. You don't learn most of the stuff till the end. In fact, even when you start to learn about it, you don't learn the entire truth until the very end, where the one survivor of this factory goes to this place and meets up with this guy who is one of the guys that shows up, in the opening scene of the movie, where the guy's dad is a truck driver and he picks up this guy's a hitchhiker. It was really interesting and very deep. If I knew more about Islam, then I could maybe correlate it to some things. But I don't. So, it's well worth the watch. It plays a little bit like a serial killer horror type movie, not to the gory extent that those movies do. But really enjoyable. I dug it quite a bit.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
The Worthy.
I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did we ever discuss making it, that show with Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman?
Yeah. We talked about it last episode.
Okay, good.
Yep.
I was watching this show called Staying Here on Netflix, started it last night. And it's that I don't know if you've ever seen Trading Spaces, but there's a designer on that called, or her name's Genevieve.
Yep.
So she's on it with, and they're like half hour episodes, which are real good. You're in and you're out, pretty quick. The pace is pretty quick, but it's her designing a place. And they're on like pretty tight budget, depending on the homeowner, as well as there's another guy that is in it with her, and he's more of like the marketing arm. And like, if you're at all interested in like rental of properties, or you know anyone who like sublets out their second home or apartment, like they give you pretty realistic advice and suggestions. And it is like, I would say almost every episode, there's a light bulb moment of like, wow, that totally makes sense. Like, wow. Yeah. Like, even down to like a guy's talking about like personalizing somebody's experience, and you have to assume that that person, that couple or whomever, the family that came in and is renting your place, this could be their first time in your town. So you should give them a guidebook just to like, you know, oh, these are the places I would recommend. This one barbecue joint is pretty fantastic and you might not have ever discovered it. And, or even down to like, remove the labels of like, the labels from like water bottles when you store them in for your guests, just to make it more like personalized instead of like, oh, I bought this water at, you know, a grocery store and here's the grocery store's name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's small little stuff, but I know a few people that do rent out like secondary properties or like, you know, the second floor of their flat, whatever.
Sure.
And it's really interesting to hear somebody who's like, all you have to do is XYZ, which are real small. It isn't like tear down that wall and put the door over here. Like it isn't, some of it's like that, like a little bit more advanced, but there's a lot of like just do it yourself, light bulb type, simple things to do where all of a sudden just those small little things can increase the amount of money that you're asking for a short term stay or a long term stay.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fascinating. And they go from city to city. I like looking at Genevieve, so that's also a positive. That's a net win for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that on my queue actually. I saw it yesterday, the day before.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, looks interesting. Yeah. Cool. There was one more that I watched.
Good.
I'm going to recommend this to you because I think you might find it interesting. I usually don't like this type of movie, but there was something captivating about it, and I think it's the visuals, really. So for people listening may not know this, one of my favorite movies of the last couple of years is Arrival. What's the girl in that movie? Lois Lane.
What's her name? Adams.
Amy Adams. Arrival is my favorite movie of the last, I would say, maybe 5 years. I've seen it a bunch of times. Love everything about it. I think a lot of what I love is the whole language thing, right? Because as you know, I'm kind of a language nerd. And that's a big part of the movie. Well, so I was browsing Netflix and I saw this movie called The Beyond. And it looked pretty interesting. They've gone in hopes of interstellar contact. What they learn has implications for humanity they never expected. So I was like, okay, I love a good, alien flick. I love alien contact stuff. So I'm going to check this out. And looking at the trailer, it looked a little Arrival-y. So I started watching it and immediately I wanted to turn it off. Because it's not done like a typical movie. It's kind of like that mockumentary style.
Oh, okay.
Where it's done kind of like The Office. And it kicks off following the head of the space agency. It's just what they call it. And you learn kind of a little bit about her and her family and her life. And then you learn that there's this anomaly out in space and they're researching it. That's how you meet the other characters in the story. And it turns out to be a wormhole. And as they're studying the wormhole, they send satellites up there and they're taking pictures of it and they look through it. And on the other side of the wormhole, they see a planet. So they want to send astronauts to explore this planet. While they're trying to figure out how to do it, because of course people can't go through wormholes because they'll be disintegrated, they're trying to find a way to get astronauts to go through. These like weird black orbs start popping up all over the world. And most of them are gigantic and the special effect is really cool. It's almost like it's made out of smoke, but at the same time it like changes shape. So do you remember? I remember this from when I was a kid. There was that little toy where it was like a little box and it was made with like, not needles, but like long little metal pieces. And like you could put your hand in it and it would like take the shape of your hand, or like you could put your face on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. So it almost looks a little bit like that too, right? Where like it's changing shape in that way. So like I said, the visuals are really, really good in this movie. I'm surprised.
Does it look like the Lost Smoke Monster? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, that looks pretty bad.
Okay. I'm just asking.
These look pretty good. Okay. So anyways, as the movie goes on, we learn that the military has been experimenting with putting human brains into robots, kind of. So they start like explaining the science behind all that, right? So you're learning about the science of wormholes. You're learning about the science of like transplanting human brains into robots and like all that technology. You have like competing theories of what this wormhole is, because apparently it popped up once before. And there's an astronaut that was in the space station, the International Space Station. He went missing. And so they start looking for candidates to transplant their brains into these robots. And basically they like 3D print the bodies, they put them in this robot shell, and they stick the human brain and connect it to these robots. And that's what they're going to send.
I like this whole concept.
Yeah, it's really innovative. So they find the candidate, they go through the transplant, it doesn't work well, he dies. So their window is closing up on when they can send somebody to this wormhole. So they're like scrambling to find new candidates. And they realize that as part of working for the space agency, everybody that works there has had like their blood taken or their DNA analyzed. And so they learn why this one candidate died, and they learn how to fix it. And in order to fix it, they need to be like, able to inject this enzyme into the bloodstream to trick the brain into thinking it's connecting with biological tissue and not like machinery.
Jeez.
And one of the scientists that has been analyzing the wormhole is one of the candidates. So they go through like the whole process of like her dealing with how she would do that, like the ethical repercussions, all that. She ends up going through the procedure. It's successful. They send her and one of the military guys, one of the soldiers that had already gone through this process, through the wormhole. Well, the military being the military, they of course implant the guy with weapons. He's got like a little mini nuke in his arm. The ship disappears and then pops back up 5 days later. Now, because this brain is implanted on a robot, they can basically pull out the memories from the brain just like you would in a computer. And so they get all these memories from the brain. And one of the things they see is like, as they're going through the wormhole, the robot just kind of, or the soldier just kind of was floated out into space. And when he was in space, his nuke blew up. And you learn a little bit about like the aliens kind of, and they're kind of like the lost, smoke monster kind of thing. And as it turns out, there was this like massive, like, asteroid storm coming, and it was going to smash Earth and destroy all of humanity, basically. And these aliens are like super benign, and they opened up this wormhole from their world to come here. And all the orbs around the planet are basically like colonies of these alien creatures. And they like stop the asteroid from destroying humanity. And there's some like really esoteric, like ethical stuff that they kind of discuss at the end as a result of that. So it ended up being like extremely fascinating.
So did they create the wormhole to escape the asteroids slamming into their planet?
No, they created the wormhole so they could go from their planet to ours, so they could protect us from being destroyed by the asteroids.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Cause I was thinking, why not create the wormhole to send the asteroids away from their planet and towards Earth?
Right. And then there's this like weird thing at the end where, as part of the aftermath of this whole thing, there's like this new Earth created, which I guess the aliens maybe create. Huh. And so they talk about like overpopulation and using up resources and whatever. And now there's this like new planet orbiting around our planet. And like the, how people deal with that, like what government would want out of going to like a new planet and what people would want from going there and the difference between those two things. It was really interesting. So it's more like a scientific thesis on like a lot of different sci-fi things, right? Like what if we actually meet aliens? Like how would that encounter go about? But ultimately, like how does our ability to better ourselves kind of impact the way that we could live our future, right? Mm-hmm. Like how we could evolve ourselves. But it's all wrapped in this like mockumentary style sci-fi flick. And I thought it was really interesting.
I love some of these concepts.
Yeah.
You said Amy Adams was in it?
No. It just reminded me of Arrival.
Gotcha. And what was the name of it again? Cause it's called, gotta write that down.
It's called The Beyond.
The Beyond. And that's Netflix.
Yep.
Dang. I got to queue up for that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's not too long. An hour and 30 minutes.
Wow. That's a lot to jam into an hour and 30.
You ain't kidding, buddy.
But it sounds like smart sci-fi, and you know this podcast loves some smart sci-fi.
You know, contrary to popular belief, we're pretty smart guys sometimes.
Here and there, sometimes.
I mean, outside of the fact that we step on nails multiple times in our lifetimes.
That's true. Very true.
We can be pretty smart.
Yeah. Did I tell you who my second round pick was?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You need some brains.
You've got quite the team on your fantasy hero league.
Yeah, start, you know. Next week will be DC, so that'll be fun.
Very nice. Very mm-hmm. nice. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I had anything else outside of that. I don't think so. I'm trying to finish up my minimalist book.
How's that going?
It's very interesting. Very interesting. So, well, I think once I'm done, I'm going to try some of these things. I think one thing that I've decided I do want to do, this is going to sound really odd, but one thing I've decided I want to do is wake up earlier.
Whoa, that is odd.
Yeah, I want to wake up earlier because I tried this a couple times in the last week or so since we've recorded. And mm-hmm. I found myself to be more calm when I go into work when I wake up earlier. Because
So you're talking hanging out at home a little bit longer, getting feeling like you're starting the day instead of hitting the alarm, getting changed real quickly, getting in your car while you're still groggy and like zipping off to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, wake up at home instead of at your desk.
Yes. So I've been waking up about an hour earlier. Which gives me time to like stretch out a little bit and make some coffee, sit down, just think about my day. And, it's been very interesting. So, it's definitely something that I'm going to try a little bit more of.
I like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do they tell you like what the sweet spot is for like hours of sleep?
I mean, I've read
a lot of studies. Yeah. I've read a lot of studies and it's like, some people recommend 5, some people recommend 8, some are 10. You know, mm-hmm. it's like all over the place.
Yeah. It's weird. So what I found, here's the thing. I mean, you can do this on your own, right? Like everybody always says you need to get 8 hours of sleep, and that's not necessarily true because mm-hmm. there are people who all they need is like 4 or 5 hours.
Yep.
Right? There are people who need like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation is 8, and my assumption is either that is the majority of people need 8, or on average, it becomes 8 hours.
Correct. That's how I take it.
Yeah. But the West Wing, that's easy to figure out for yourself. All you gotta do is you go to bed, and you look at what time you're going to bed, and then you turn all your alarms off. And then whatever time you wake up, you do the math. You subtract the two numbers and that's the number of hours you need. It may not work on like a 1 day trial, right? Because like if you're super tired, you might sleep 14 hours, right? That's not what right. you need. But if you try doing this a couple of times on different days, maybe random days or consecutive days even, you can easily figure out exactly how much sleep you need. And really that's the key. Like the amount of sleep you need is the amount of sleep you get without having to use an alarm. Now the problem with that for me is if I already get up at like 6:30, and I mean, even that's kind of pushing it, but we'll say 6:30. If I want to try this new thing where I wake up earlier to get my day started before I actually start my day, I would have to get up at like 5:30. And I think good sleep for me is about 8.5-9 hours. So, I mean, if that's the case, I got to go to bed at like 8 o'clock, and that's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I would love to wake up at 6:30. Holy mackerel. For work, that sounds fantastic, but that never happens.
Never happens.
That's why every once in a while, like if we cancel or if work isn't all that stressful, where I know I'm not going to lay in bed staring at the ceiling going through, you know, my to-do list. If I know that that's not going to happen, that as soon as, because I'm the type of person that as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm out. Like if I'm at all laying in bed, you know, something is stressing me out. So if I don't have anything stressing me out, oh my God, dude, I can sleep like a log and all I need is 5 hours sleep. But if I'm up like thinking about things, I could lay in bed for 10 hours and I would feel like I'm getting 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, that's why I always wait till I'm actually like ready to go to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never like, okay, it's 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. I'm going to go to bed because it's bedtime. Because that doesn't work for me. Like I don't go to bed until my eyes are starting to like, you know, close or, you know, get kind of tired. Then I'm like, okay, then it's bedtime. Because like, I mean, I hate just going to bed and laying there until you fall asleep. That's number one, it's freaking boring. And number two, it's pointless because like it would be doing other stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever get past that? Do you ever get that second wind?
Oh, yeah.
Usually around like 10, 11 o'clock, if I can muster through that, then I'm good for another 3-4 hours. But if I miss that window, God forbid, then all of a sudden it's 11:15 and I'm up and it's like, shoot, I got to go to bed because I'm waking up at 4:45. And forget about it. You're not falling asleep probably till about 1:30.
Yeah.
And feeling like crap the next day.
Mine takes like quite a bit longer than that. So I don't usually start getting tired until about 11. So really I'll go to bed between 11 and midnight most nights.
And that's bed, not laying in bed reading comics.
No, like
that's like I am going to bed to sleep.
All right, so my rule has always been to never read anything in bed.
Oh, smart.
Because very early on I learned not to associate any behavior outside of sleeping with being in bed. So I don't read in bed, I don't listen to music in bed, I don't do anything in bed aside from sleep.
It's probably smart.
Well, and you know, have a little happy time. But outside of that, that's it.
There's a lot of studies that even say that you shouldn't have a TV in your bedroom.
Well, that's true. And we do have a TV in bed, in the bedroom, but we don't use it to watch TV to go to sleep.
Gotcha.
Like if the kids want to play the Nintendo, like they can play in there, right? Cause we can control that room.
Mm-hmm.
If my wife is watching Breaking Bad for the 50th time, which she is right now, then I'll go in the bedroom and watch something there. But a lot of times I'll just come into the studio and watch my computer, you know? But yeah, like we don't watch TV in bed. We don't read in bed. Well, my wife does sometimes. But not necessarily at night. She'll read like when she wakes up, she'll read. And I think maybe that's a little more okay. But I still rather not do that. Right? Like even when I wake up, like I just won't lay in bed. If I wake up, it means I'm awake and I'm going to get up. So I'll get up and go read or whatever.
See, I read in bed, but that has been a learned behavior since like seventh grade. I've always read in bed, and now it's so much easier because it's on my tablet, which is lit, so I can turn off all the lights and read my tablet. But for me, it's all about the dream state. So when I fall asleep, I immediately put myself into a comic book, and that immediately puts me into a happy state of mind.
See, so we let the kids read in bed if they're reading books. But they can't, like, watch YouTube videos in bed.
Oh, no.
Because, I know Mike's been dabbling in this a little bit, because he tweeted about it the other day when I was talking about reading more physical comics.
Uh-huh.
So Mike may be aware of some of this stuff. But, I mean, there's been studies where, you know, like, the blue light on a device is not good for your eyes, right? Because blue light signifies daytime. So not only does it hurt your eyes because it's brighter light, it also tells your brain that it's daytime and not nighttime. And so it makes it harder for you to fall asleep. So I've made a concerted effort for years to not stare at a screen with blue light at least 30 minutes to an hour before bed.
Uh-huh.
So like on my computer, I have it set to at sunset. It pretty much filters out the blue light. It becomes almost reddish. I've got it on my tablet. I've got it on my phone. I've got it on my computer. And then same thing in the morning. So when the sun comes up, it switches from red back to the regular light. Cause blue light is not good for your brain. It puts you in a different state of mind. So that's part of the reason why I don't read in bed. I want to associate being in bed with sleeping. And if I'm in the living room, I associate that with reading or watching TV or whatever. But it's important. And you know, I've talked about this before. And I know some people made fun of me a little bit about the fact that I only have like black shirts and blue jeans and nothing else.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I wake up and I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear because all I do is pick out a shirt and pick out a pair of pants and they're all the same. So it doesn't matter. It's the same kind of thing where like when you take that choice away from your brain, you're able to focus your actual conscious brain in other directions. And it may seem silly and stupid and kind of, weird and pedantic in some ways, you know, like that's why I get called a hipster a lot of times. But it actually works, you know, and it's been kind of tested through science. So that's the kind of thing that I like to go through.
No, I believe me, I totally get it. I think it, for me, it's just habit.
Yeah.
It used to be physical comics, but now I don't like having a light right above me. But believe me, I'm not reading for hours. I get through maybe 4 pages and then I'm out because I've just trained myself like you read a little bit and then you fall asleep. And that's exactly what I do.
Yep.
Unless I have stuff going on at work and then that's in my head. Or, you know, family issues or whatever. Whatever anxiety's hitting you.
Yep. No, I totally get it. Yeah. That's, you know, that kind of – breaking habits is hard. We should do an episode on breaking habits. I don't want to get into it now. That's going to take too long.
Look at us. We're self-improvement
podcast. I told you this was a self-help podcast. You didn't believe me.
Look at us.
But
and we're always helping people, you know, to get into some different comics too. Come on.
We do that. Let me tell you, I think DC should pay me because over the last couple of weeks, I think I've gotten at least 12 or 15 people to buy multiple issues of Red Hood and the Outlaws. So, DC, nice. I want my check.
Nice. I like that. Can you also reach out and contact Marvel and tell them to, after 6 issues of Punisher, you don't have to come out with a number 1. You don't. You could just keep going. It's the same writer. Just
it
keep
is.
Going.
It is. Hey, but that issue is really good.
Oh, that's where we differ. But that's okay.
Oh, seriously? Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It was,
that's all right.
I thought it was quite good. I love the fact that Baron Zemo is so prominent in it because I love Baron Zemo. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. The Mandarin stuff I care less about, but.
I thought it had pacing issues. It jerked me from scene to scene too abruptly. Frank was grabbing a hold of way too many techie, futuristic weapons that were not explained, that just shot out weird ammunition and had weird particle effects on the enemies. It was not the grounded Frank Castle that I know and love. And that's coming from a guy who loved him in the War Machine armor. So.
Mm. See, that's interesting. Because they kind of explained some of that stuff when he had the War Machine armor. All right. Fair enough. Not everybody has to like everything.
For sure.
Not everybody has to like anything. So, cool. Yeah. Put it in the docket. Breaking Habits. We'll do that at some point. We got some good feedback on our last episode, by the way.
I wouldn't know.
Well, I'm telling you now.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I like to know.
A lot of people related to our unhappiness with our day to day. Professionally.
Really?
Yeah.
That I'm shocked at, because I would have expected people just to be like, stop bitching and moaning. Oh my God. Cry me a river, boys. That's what I was expecting.
You would think that, but I think the people that manage to listen to this podcast, for some odd reason, not only come back regularly, but listen to the entire fucking thing for some reason, which is very odd because we go places.
Hey, I never take our audience for granted. That's for darn sure. So that's pretty humbling to hear that. Because to be honest with you, you know, both of us, our cups are half full constantly. So for us to go down that road, I was just like, how much is too much? Like, I didn't want to feel like all we're doing is bitching and moaning. Mm. You know, so it's nice to hear that they didn't see it that way. So that's good. And guess what? Sometimes we have to. I hate to say it. Sometimes life gets in the way and we might take this podcast places that maybe people don't want to hear, which is fine. That's fine.
Well, and that's why we brand this as a self-help podcast and not as a comic book podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Yeah, but I'm glad we got some good feedback. That elates me. That's great to hear.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Let's wrap this episode up.
Okay, fantastic.
You have been listening to the Nerd Legion Podcast! One day I'll come up with an actual outro to this podcast. I always wing it, Nick.
I like when you wing it.
I always wing it. You know, there's professional shows that have actual introductions. They'll tell you, for example, you've been listening to the Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore and Martin Ferretti. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvon, at Nerdy Legion. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. You can go to nerdylegion.com and check out all the other great shows. We don't do that kind of thing.
I think you should just clip out the last 30 seconds and put that at the end of all of our podcasts. Sounded fantastic.
Thanks for listening. Let's catch you next time.